कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 2 व्यामिश्रेणैव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहम् आप्नुयाम्। माय इंटेलिजेंस इज बिविल्डर्ड बाय योर इक्विवोकल इंस्ट्रक्शंस, देयरफॉर प्लीज टेल मी डिसिसिवली विच विल बी मोस्ट बेनिफिशियल फॉर मी। इन द प्रीवियस चैप्टर एज अ प्रीलूड टू द भगवद्गीता मेनी डिफरेंट पार्ट्स वर एक्सप्लेन्ड सच एज सांख्य योग, बुद्धि योग, control of the senses by intelligence, work without fruitive desire, and the position of the neophyte. So apparently many different parts were explained. This is a presentation of what is in Arjuna's mind. In Arjuna's mind, when he heard the second chapter, it appeared to him Sankhya Yoga is one way of spiritual advancement. Buddhi Yoga was another way, another pathway. Control of the senses by intelligence, that appeared to him to be something else. Or so many things. Work without fruitive desire means prescribed work, Vedic work without fruitive desire. Varnashrama Dharma performed with a Nishkama spirit. The position of the neophyte. So apparently so many different things were being spoken of. So this first sentence is a description of Arjuna's, what is in Arjuna's mind. This was all presented unsystematically. This is also Arjuna's perception. This is not reality. This is Arjuna, from Arjuna's perspective, he's thinking like this. In reality, Arjuna does understand, as we learn from the predecessor Acharyas. But he's considering the position of the real audience of Bhagavad Gita. The real audience of the Bhagavad Gita are the conditioned souls, human beings, for whose benefit Krishna is speaking. So he is considering that from that perspective, it is unsystematic. A more organized outline of the path would be necessary for action and understanding. This is all the description of Arjuna's thought process. If you have a more organized outline of the path, then it is possible to implement the activities outlined there, and it's also clear. Now, this is a very important point, that unless you have an organized presentation, it is very difficult to develop a correct understanding and correct prayoga, application. Therefore, organization is very, very important. We can derive that lesson from this sentence. It is very, very important to be systematic and organized. Giriraj Maharaj asked Prabhupada in 1970. No, Prabhupada asked Giriraj Maharaj in 1977, "Do you think my movement will survive after I depart? And Giriraj Maharaj said, "Yes, the devotees are so sincere," meaning that they love Prabhupada so much. They're so sincere. And Prabhupada said, sincerity is not enough. You need to have sincerity and intelligence and organization. Mere sincerity is not enough. So it is a fact that we need to love Prabhupada, we need to love devotees, following Prabhupada and so on. But that's not enough. Mere sincerity, mere love is not enough. You also need to have intelligence, and you need to have organization. Very important. Very important. Otherwise, it's not possible to correctly understand and correctly implement Prabhupada's teachings. So that point appears here. A more organized outline of the path would be necessary for action and understanding. Arjuna, therefore, wanted to clear up these apparently confusing matters. Why does Prabhupada say apparently confusing matters? Because even Arjuna understands that it is apparent that This is apparent. It's not. It is not that he is accusing Krishna of speaking equivocal words. He is presenting. You know, it appears to be like this. It appears to be like this. So Arjuna is telling Krishna, please clear up these apparently confusing matters, so that any common man would accept them without misinterpretation. So this is what Arjuna has in the background of his mind. Common men. Without any misinterpretation. Although Krishna had no intention of confusing Arjuna by any jugglery of words, Arjuna could not follow the process of Krishna consciousness either by inertia or by active service. So Krishna had no intention of confusing Arjuna. This expression jugglery of words is a set phrase that Prabhupada often used. Jugglery of words. Word jugglery. That means you please speak so many things. So many expressions that people use. So Arjuna could not follow the process of Krishna consciousness either by inertia or by active service. Meaning that he could not conceive he thought that, what is this? So does it mean that I have to be materially inert? Is that Sarvendri Upadati? Spirituality means I control all my senses, and that is what is called buddhi, spiritual conception. So he couldn't, he had a problem with that concept. And by active service, means you are actively using your senses, because when Krishna said you should do your prescribed duty, what is the prescribed duty that Arjuna is supposed to do? Kill his grandfather, kill his guru. So that is supposed to be his active service. So he could not accept that also. So he had a problem with that. So he has a problem with both. On one side, be inert. Actually, there is nothing called inert, but he is thinking like that. That Sarvendri Upadati or Sarvendri Vyapar. Use all the senses in this terrible activity of war, or completely control all your senses inside. So he, that is what Arjuna thought. Krishna was talking about. So he's thinking of two different things in his mind. In other words, by his questions, he's clearing the path of Krishna consciousness for all students who seriously want to understand the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. So he was considering that there are so many people who are listening to this Gita and who are going to study it. They'll try to take advantage of Bhagavad Gita. So he wants to clarify things. He is their spokesman. He is the spokesman of all potential readers of Bhagavad Gita. Text 3. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Lokesmin Divvidha Nishtha Pura Prakta Mayanagha Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. The Supreme Personality of God has said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. Notice the word meanings. Jnana Yogena, by the linking process of knowledge. Sankhyanam, of the empiric philosophers. Karma Yogena, by the linking process of devotion. Yoginam, of the devotees. So when he says devotional service, he's talking of Karma Yogena. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Open second chapter, verse 39, and you'll see what Prabhupada is talking about. Esha te vihita sankhe buddhir yogitvimam shrinu buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Thus far, I've described this knowledge to you through analytical study. So that is what is called Sankhya, which is also called Jnana Yoga, also called Jnana Nishtha. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. So this is called yoga, which is also called karma yoga. Notice there are two words here in the locative case, Sankhye and Yoge. Esha te abhita Sankhye buddhihi Yoge tu imam shunu. These are the padani words, complete words. So Sankhye indicates Sankhya. And notice, if you look at 3.3 also, you see Krishna uses Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. Sankhyanam is in the sixth case, plural. And you find back in 2.39, you see Yoge, Yoge, which is seventh case singular of Yoga. And from Yoga, you form the extension Yogin, and which means one who practices Yoga. And in 3.3, you see the word Yoginam, which is the sixth case plural of Yogin, Yoginam. So you notice that. This is why Prabhupada says, the same point is coming here. So there are basically, there are two types of people. People who by the process of jnana, they come to realization of the self. But they have to have their hearts clean. Their hearts have to be purified for that. Whereas there are others who are not qualified for that, so they engage in karma yoga. Karma yoga means bhakti mishra nishkama karma. Jnana yoga means bhakti mishra jnana. So there are two classes of men. Some are bhakti mishra jnana and some are in bhakti mishra nishkama karma. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Karma Yoga means Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy, vichar, deliberation. Shastrartha vichar. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. Now, what is the 61st verse of the second chapter? Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pranya pratishtita. This is 2.61. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. So this is the process of working in Krishna consciousness. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. When you notice this expression, work in Krishna consciousness, you should understand, he's talking of bhakti mishra nishkama karma, and the process of increasing devotion, increasing Mukhya Bhakti Yoga in that. In other words, it is our Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, which when you increase the Bhakti element in it, then it becomes Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti. When you increase Bhakti in it, it comes to Kevala Bhakti. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse, that by working by the principles of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna Consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action. And furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse, that this Buddhi Yoga is to depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna, Mat Paraha. And in this way, all the senses can be brought under control very easily. So the idea is this, that when you engage in Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma and you increase your devotional service, you automatically come to the plane of spiritual knowledge. See, every time you hear this expression, Jnana Yoga, Jnana, you should understand that that Jnana includes Vairagya. So generally, the conception of a Jnana Yogi is a sannyasi. That is a general conception. It is not always like that. One can be a Jnana Yogi even as a Grihastha. But generally, because the plane of spiritual knowledge means that he is renounced. this was very, very clearly understood. It was very, very clearly understood in Vedic culture that spiritual knowledge has to be accompanied by material renunciation. You cannot have both. You cannot be engaged in sinful sense gratification. You cannot even be engaged in pious sense gratification and be considered to have attained the spiritual jnana. That is why it always comes, bhakti paresha anubhavo virakti ranyatra cha vairagya vidya anaja bhakti yoga. Always will come. Vidya means vairagya vidya. Jnana means jnana vairagya. They always come together. They are together. So, by engaging in the process of bhakti mishra nishkama karma, also called buddhi yoga, one will be able to bring all the senses under control, which means he has attained the plane of jnana. He is able to analytically discriminate between the body and the soul in his real life, in his realization. Therefore, both the yogas are interdependent as religion and philosophy. So therefore, the idea is both the yogas, Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, they are interdependent. They are interdependent. The idea is, it is not that a Jnana Yogi, he does not engage in any karma. It is not that a Karma Yogi does not have any Jnana. The names, the labels are given according to what is predominant. When we say Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, that includes knowledge of the soul. If you don't have knowledge of the soul as being different from the body, why will you engage in Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma? You will engage in Bhakti Mishra Kama Karma. Even for that, you need to know the difference between body and soul. You will engage in sinful activities. Similarly, a Jnana Yogi also, to maintain himself, he has to sustain for his sadhana. So he has to engage in some form of karma. He has to avoid sinful activities. So he will naturally engage in some form of Vedic activities to maintain his body. So he also has karma. Krishna will develop these points now in this chapter. So he also has karma. So the idea that Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas will bring out is that it is not that Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma means there is no jnana. And Bhakti Mishra Jnana means there is no karma. They are interdependent. You need this for that and you need that for this. If you don't have jnana, spiritual knowledge of the soul being different from the body, you cannot do karma. You will do sinful activities. So it is independent. And if you don't maintain your body through some pious means, you will not be able to perform your jnana sadhana. How will you be able to study shastra? How will you be able to do philosophical deliberation? You need to maintain yourself. So they are interdependent. They are interdependent. Therefore, both the yogas are interdependent as religion and philosophy. He gives the example of religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So there are two sides. There are two sides. One is religion, which is the emotional aspect of the soul connecting with God. And then there is philosophy. The philosophy is rational thinking. And we need both. We need both. As is understood from Prabhupada's own name, Bhakti Vedanta. You have a Bhakti aspect, you have a Vedanta aspect. And you need to have both. You may have one more, one less. But you cannot have only one. You cannot be only emotional. You cannot be only rational. You need to have both. It is the very nature of the soul to have both. Vichara ragau chetana dharmau, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Tattva Sutra, that it is the very nature of the conscious living being to have two things. One is he deliberates. He wants to know whether this is correct or not. Intelligence. It's part of the soul itself. And also he needs he has emotion, love. He needs to have both. So both are important. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. It's dry speculation. But when we talk of religion, we are talking of Vedic religion. When we talk of philosophy, we are talking of Vedic philosophy. You need both in their original scriptural format. And when you say Vedic religion, it is Vedic religion as understood through the parampara of liberated acharyas. And when you say Vedic philosophy, it is Vedic philosophy as understood through the liberated parampara, the acharya parampara. Otherwise, it is a mess. You cannot say religion without philosophy and take some strange combination of some kind of Christian religion with Vedic philosophy, or you take Vedic dharma with some sentimental Western understanding and you mix it together. It then will lead to some very bizarre results, strange results. So we have to stay within directions given by Srila Prabhupada if you want to intelligently mix religion and philosophy. It has to be mixed, but it should be done under the guidance of a liberated acharya like Prabhupada. And the best procedure is to simply try to stick to Srila Prabhupada's teachings as close as possible. Otherwise, this combination of religion and philosophy, if it is done in a very unintelligent manner, it doesn't suit any religionist, it doesn't suit any philosopher. Philosophers will laugh at you for coming up with some strange cooked up idea, and religionists will laugh at you for saying that you people are so uncultured in the name of being very cultured. So it's very important that everything has to be done properly. This combination is obviously important, but the combination has to be done under the guidance of a liberated acharya like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Their combination, that's the combination we want. We don't want to come up with our own combination in the name of benefiting Prabhupada's movement. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. So it is also important to note that even though there are two aspects, there's the aspect of Varnashrama Dharma, karma, and there is jnana. Both of them are designed, or both of them are aiming, or they are prescribed for attaining devotional service to Krishna. The ultimate goal is Krishna. In either case, if you are into jnana, you should know Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. After several lifetimes, one who has true scriptural knowledge, he will surrender to Krishna. Krishna will state that in chapter 7. And if you are engaged in karma, that also Krishna will state in this very chapter, chapter 3. Yagyarthat karma vanyatra lokoyam karma vandana. If you don't perform karma for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, or Lord Yagya, Yagya is one name of Vishnu, if you don't perform your Vedic karma for his pleasure, then again it is lost. Karma is also aimed at coming to the point of surrender to Krishna. Jnana is also aimed for the same purpose. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. The indirect process is philosophical speculation by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness, and the other process is directly connecting everything with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Notice, Prabhupada repeatedly brings out this point, that this is the direct process. The direct process is from Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma plus Bhakti, Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti plus Bhakti, and it comes to Kevala Bhakti. This is the direct pathway. You simply add devotional service, add Mukhya Bhakti Yoga, and then you directly go. Otherwise it's indirect. You know, from Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, you're coming to Bhakti Mishra Jnana. And then you, traditionally, one way at least is to move towards Bhakti Mishra Yoga, which is Ashtanga Yoga. And then you increase your devotional service, Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Then you come to Kevala Bhakti. So that pathway is also available. Or from Bhakti Mishra Jnana, you can increase Bhakti, come to Jnana Mishra Bhakti, then come to Kevala Bhakti. That process is also available. But they are all indirect. The indirect process is philosophical speculation by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. So this is gradual. The indirect process is gradual. And the other process is directly connecting everything with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process. So it doesn't. You don't need to.
increase
philosophical deliberation in order to come up to purification of the senses. That is also fine. There is nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to depend on that. You simply increase bhakti yoga and automatically the senses will be purified. So you don't need a philosophical process. A philosophical process means a process of philosophical deliberation, which is very helpful. It is very helpful in leading to sense control. It is quite helpful. But if we engage in the process of Krishna consciousness itself, especially the primary elements, Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, Bhagavat, Shravan, Mathura, Vashri, Murti, Shraddha, Sevan, the five primary elements, then senses are automatically brought under control. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime. So it is simultaneously easy and sublime. While emphasizing Karma Yoga over Jnana Yoga, Prabhupada is echoing Ramanujacharya, who also presented his commentary also. He talks like this. He also talks like this. It is his style, his presentation style. Text 4. Na karmana vanarambhan naishkarmiyam purushoshnite na cha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhigacchati. Now this section, the acharyas have commented in different ways, but very interesting. Very interesting. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction. Nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. The renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties which are laid down just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Why does he talk about renounced order of life here? Because notice the Sanskrit, na karmanam anarambham naishkarmyam purushah ashnute. Naishkarmyam means freedom from reaction. Naishkarmyam is the position called jnananishtha, the position of knowledge, which is also called jnana yoga, which is also called bhakti mishra jnana. So when you talk of bhakti mishra jnana, it means you are in the position of renunciation of sense objects, because it is very contradictory from the Vedic perspective to know about the material world and still try to enjoy. It is just like we would say, a person who knows about the causes of cancer, he will not smoke. Only a foolish doctor will smoke, or an addicted doctor will smoke. So it is like that. From the Vedic perspective, the moment you mention jnana, immediately vairagya has to come in. That has to come. People will not accept. In Vedic culture, even in the literatures, Vyasadeva's writings, it's very, very clear. Jnana means there has to be sense control. That is why jnana, every time the word jnana comes, please prefix it with the word vairagya. Or suffix it with the word vairagya. Jnana means jnana vairagya. Always it has to come. You cannot have spiritual knowledge without vairagya. It is completely bogus. That is why sense enjoyers, even pious sense enjoyers who go to heavenly planets to enjoy, these people are all considered agyanis. They are all considered agyanis. They may have theoretical knowledge, but who cares? You are not applying that knowledge. Because the moment you apply that knowledge, you will immediately come up with sense control, renunciation. That is why Prabhupada says, if you really want to talk sannyas, if you really want to talk Shankaracharya's philosophy, jnana, impersonal jnana, first take sannyas, then we'll talk. First of all renounce vijaya bhoga, then we'll talk. Otherwise don't talk. Very important. Jnana means jnana vairagya. That is why Prabhupada is talking about the renounced order of life. So the renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties. So if you want to act on the plane of Bhakti Mishra Jnana or Jnana Yoga, then you can accept it after you are purified by the discharge of karma, prescribed form of duties. Now this prescribed form of duties are given so that you can get purified. Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyas. There are three duties of a sannyasi which are presented in the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 16, we will study it. Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. One is, he is supposed to be fearless. He cannot be afraid. Oh, what if some tiger comes and eats me up, you know. He cannot be frightened. What if these people kill me? He cannot be frightened. Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi. He has to engage in activities which purify his heart. He cannot engage in even Vedic activities which continue to contaminate one's heart. Yes, purification of heart means coming to the mode of goodness from rajas and tamas. That is called sattva samshuddhi. He cannot try to come to the mode of passion from ignorance. No. Sannyas means he has to come to the mode of goodness. And there are activities and procedures which lead one to that. One should not try to elevate himself from ignorance to passion. That is not sattva samshuddhi. Abhayam sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vyavasthiti. And he has to engage in Jnana Yoga. He has to study scriptures. So these three come together. Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. Krishna will state it. Prabhupada will explain it there also. So, sannyas means it comes along with this. It's one package. So the moment you talk about Bhakti Mishra Jnana Yoga, then immediately it brings the mind to this point. Oh, so sannyasi. He's giving up everything, engaging in jnana. He's engaging in jnana. But Prabhupada is saying, without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyas. You cannot abruptly accept the duties on that are presented for the Bhakti Mishra Jnanis. According to the empiric philosophers, he's talking of mundane philosophers. Actually, he's talking of Mayavadis, Advaitavadis. Simply by adopting sannyas or retiring from fruitive activities, one at once becomes as good as Narayana. Dandad dharana matrena naro narayano bhave. This is a bogus mantra. Just by accepting sannyas danda, you become as good as Narayana. Nonsense. But Lord Krishna does not approve this principle. Krishna does not accept this. Krishna says you need to be purified. You need to be purified. Only when you attain purification, then you can take a pronunciation. That's why he's saying, not by merely abstaining from world. That means, not by merely taking sannyas, can one achieve freedom from reaction. If you come to the jnana platform, there's no more reaction. You don't have any more karmic reactions. Any activity that you do will not produce further karmic reaction. That is what is called naishkarmiya, freedom from reaction. So it's not a simply I go sit for some sannyas ceremony, it takes half an hour, that's all. So within half an hour I'll come to that plane, naishkarmiya. After that half an hour, whatever I do, I'll get no more reaction. It's not like that. I have to be purified in heart. First of all, I have to be purified in heart. I don't have any rajasic vasana. I don't have any tamasic vasana. I don't have inclination to engage in sinful activities. I have no inclination to engage in pious Vedic activities. So that situation has to come. That is called purification. So Krishna does not approve this principle in this text. On the other hand, without purification of heart, sannyas is simply a disturbance to the social order. Because this is a big problem. The sannyasi has mundane desires. It was a very big problem because he's supposed to be the guru and he's got some issues. So it becomes a very big problem. When one sannyasi has trouble, then you are basically giving trouble to 5,000 grihasthas. So it's more important to preserve one sannyasi. So important. It's very, very important because it leads to cataclysms within the movement. Very serious. Without purification of heart, sannyas is simply a disturbance to the social order. On the other hand, if someone takes to the transcendental service of the Lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord, Bhuti Yoga. However, There is an exception to this. If you engage in Mukhya Bhakti Yoga and you abstain from work, then that is accepted too. That is acceptable. Krishna accepts that. In this shloka, Krishna is saying that if you simply give up karma and you want to take sannyas, then that doesn't help you at all. You don't come to the Naishkarmiya platform. However, if you are engaged in devotional service, Mukhya Bhakti Yoga, and you are giving up Gauna Bhakti Yoga, you are giving up mundane prescribed duties, then that Krishna can accept. So that is an exception. That is why Prabhupada writes, on the other hand, it's an exception. So this shloka should not be misinterpreted to mean that even devotees cannot abstain from material duties. It is acceptable. However, materially their lives will be a little bit messed up. If you give up karma, material duties, materially you are going to be a little bit, you put in some jeopardy. But you are still blessed by Krishna. If you don't commit offenses, you don't commit sinful activities. If you give up pious activities in order to engage in devotional service, materially things may be a little bit jerky for a while. But if you continue, Krishna will protect you. But one has to be steady and one has to do these things under the guidance of a competent spiritual master. One cannot do this whimsically or abruptly without consultation. On the other hand, if someone takes to the transcendental service of the Lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord. Buddhi Yoga. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. We already came across this shloka. This is what? Second chapter. Even a slight performance of such a principle enables one to overcome great difficulties. 5. Nahi kaschik khanabhi jato tishtatya karma krit karyate hiyavashak karma sarvah prakriti jair gunai. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. It's not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. So it is not just an embodied life. Look at this shloka. Nahi kaschi khanavapi jatu tishtati akarmakrit. There is no mention that only one who is embodied cannot engage in karma. He is saying it is the nature of the nahi kaschit. No one can stay without engaging in some activity. Therefore, Prabhupada directly puts it out in the purport. It is not a question of embodied life. Krishna didn't say nahi dehi kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. No embodied soul can refrain from karma. He is saying no one. Everyone is forced to act helplessly. No one can refrain from doing something, he is saying. No one can refrain from doing something. Nahi kaschit. It does not say no embodied being can refrain from doing something. So Prabhupada clarifies that in the purport. It is not a question of embodied life. It is the nature of the soul to be always active. Every jiva has to be active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. So the spirit soul, it cannot stop even for a moment. It has to be active. Because it's the soul's very nature, svabhava, jaiva svabhava, to always be active. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by the illusory energy. So if he doesn't do good activity means Krishna consciousness. It will engage in bad activity. Bad activity means activities under the influence of Maya. Occupations dictated by the illusory energy. So the illusory energy says, engage in this activity. You'll be very happy. You have been happy in the past. Why do you think you won't be happy now? Do this. You know it. Within you, you want it. Do it. This is how Maya talks. You want it. Don't hide yourself. Don't repress yourself. Be yourself. These are called occupations dictated by the illusory energy. In contact with the material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes. This is an explanation of the Karyate Hyavashah Karma Sarva Prakriti Jair Gunai. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes. And to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the Shastras. So this is why scriptural injunctions are given, for purifying us. Because if we don't listen to scriptures, then we will simply follow the modes of nature corresponding to our previous activities. And we will simply be following, like a zombie will be engaged in sinful activities. But if the soul is engaged in its natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for it. Whatever he is able to do is good for it. So if one engages in Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, or Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti, or Kevala Bhakti, it's good for him. Even though he is supposed to stick to one thing and then gradually move up, even if one attempts the highest, it's not a problem. You notice this in the direct process. It is not really a problem. Even if you try to go ahead, if you try to basically run ahead of the system. Whereas if you choose the indirect process, it is a big mess. The indirect process requires you to go according to your eligibility only. The indirect process is Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, Bhakti Mishra Jnana, Bhakti Mishra Yoga, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti. So you cannot go this way, you cannot just choose, today I do Nishkama, Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, tomorrow I do Bhakti Mishra Jnana. You can't do that. You immediately fall down. The moment you try to engage in Bhakti Mishra Jnana, this Shloka 5 will apply. Karyate Hyavashah Karma. Immediately the modes of nature will pull you here and there. And your attempts to artificially renounce will all collapse. Similarly, if you simply try to do Ashtanga Yoga. There's one chapter on Ashtanga Yoga, chapter 6. The very first thing Krishna talks about is how important it is to engage in karma. Because you cannot from day one begin Ashtanga Yoga. You should have engaged in Varnashrama Dharma properly and become cool, peaceful, structured, organized, subtle body. Be peaceful. Then you come to Jnana. Then you come to Yoga. Yoga requires all this as a preface. So the indirect pathway is very, very strict. You cannot jump ahead. Whereas the direct pathway, you can jump ahead. It's not a problem. That is why Prabhupada is saying. But. But means is contrasting. But if the soul is engaged in this natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam affirms this. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajan napakvotha pate tato yadi yatra kvava bhadram abhudamushya kim kovartha apto bhajatam swadharmataha. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the Shastras, that means he is imitating those who are engaged in Kevala Bhakti. That's what he's trying to do. Or execute the devotional service properly. Some aspects he doesn't do. And even though he may fall down from the standard, and then he falls down below that. He's not consistently sticking to that. There is no loss or evil for him. He is not in a position of a loss. There's nothing evil, there's nothing wrong, there's no repercussion, no reverse. Whereas if you try to move in the indirect pathway and you try to jump ahead, you try to bypass your eligible position, Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma, try to act as a Bhakti Mishra Jnani, big problem, very big problem. You fall down and then it's very difficult to restart. All complicated problems. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the Shastras, what does it avail him if he's not Krishna conscious? Kovarthapto bhajatam swadharmata. He's engaged in this swadharma for purification, self-purification, but somehow or other he hasn't come to Krishna consciousness. Shrama eva hi kevalam, Bhagavatam says. Simply a waste of time. And therefore, one of my teachers, he used to say, if you engage in Varnashrama Dharma in Krishna consciousness properly, it will increase your attachment to Krishna consciousness. But if you engage in Varnashrama and you don't come up to increasing Krishna consciousness, it is actually Varnashrama. It is simply useless labor of the Varnas. That's all. Shrama eva hi keval. It is not Varnashrama. It is Varnashrama. It is just waste of labor, waste of energy. So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. So the purificatory process is necessary. He is saying this, keeping in mind the last statement of this Bhagavatam text that he is quoting, Kovarthapto Bhajatam Sudharmatam. Therefore, the purificatory process is so that you can come to the point of Kevala Bhakti, or in fact, the pathway of Bhakti. Therefore, sannyas or any purificatory process is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered a failure. So it is very important to note this, that whatever we may do, the ultimate goal is to take to Krishna consciousness, without which it is considered a failure. If we do not increase our Krishna consciousness, that process is not useful. It is a waste of time. It has to increase our Krishna consciousness. That means it has to increase, it has to impel us to increase the primary elements of Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, Rama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Uttarava Srimurti, Shraddhai Seva. 6. Karmendriyani Samyamya Yaste Manasasmaran Indriyarthan Mudhatma Mithyacharasa Uchyate. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. There are many pretenders who refuse to work on Krishna consciousness. So there are many people who refuse to engage in Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma. And on top of it, they are not interested in Krishna consciousness also. But they make a show of meditation. Make a show of meditation. So you should not think that these people are on the Bhakti Mishra Jnana platform. They are pseudo. They are false. They are cheating themselves and they are cheating others, definitely. There are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness but make a show of meditation while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. Now keep in mind, this shloka 6 should not be misunderstood. It should not be misunderstood and misinterpreted to mean a sincere practitioner of Krishna consciousness. This is not about a practitioner of Krishna consciousness. This is about one who refuses to be in Krishna consciousness. One who refuses to do Krishna consciousness, but he wants to meditate. He is talking of these kind of pseudo-practitioners, pseudo-sadhakas. So these pseudo-sadhakas, what do they do? Within their mind, they are meditating on sense enjoyment. Such pretenders, meaning such non-Vaishnava pretenders, may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers. But according to this verse, these are the greatest cheaters. And you find in India, India is filled with crowds of people like this. They don't want to take to Krishna consciousness. They don't prescribe Krishna consciousness. And they talk about meditation, spirituality, yoga, any damn nonsense they'll speak. They'll speak anything. And people are so simple. And sometimes people are foolish. And at other times they are sophisticated. Prabhupada is saying sophisticated in when he says sophisticated, generally in his writings, Prabhupada says sophisticated in a sarcastic sense. People are sophisticated. Unnecessarily complex. Unnecessarily complicated. So because they are themselves trying to act over smart, these pretenders can bluff them nicely. They'll simply say activate your tribal shield, or all kinds of things. This is the greatest healing modality that has come up. This is the source of Ayurveda, Reiki, this, that, all these things. Speak some bogus thing. Because they've attained the fifth level. So these people are simply talking something. For sense enjoyment, one can act in any capacity of the social order. For sense enjoyment, one can act in any capacity of the social order. But if one follows the rules and regulations of his particular status, he can make gradual progress in purifying his existence. Okay, if you want sense enjoyment, okay, take it. Follow the Varnashrama Dharma system. Place yourself in the first Varna, or second Varna, third Varna, fourth Varna. There are various social, and also first Brahmacharya. Either take up one of the renounced ashramas corresponding to your situation, or you be an honest householder. So there's, you know, there's a gradation, it's a hierarchy, or rather there's a system where you can move step by step up. So it is allowed. But if you follow the rules and regulations for your particular status, then you will be able to gradually progress and purify yourself gradually over the years, over the decades. Gradually you will move on. But one who says, no, this is too slow for me, I'm directly coming up to the plane, the renounced plane. But he who makes a show of being a yogi while actually searching for the objects of sense gratification must be called the greatest cheater, even though he sometimes speaks of philosophy. So he may quote from the Upanishads. He may quote from different religious scriptures, philosophical scriptures. Sometimes he may not even quote, and people are so foolish that they listen to people without even bothering to check whether that is scriptural. Actually, in Kali Yuga, people are quite foolish. They're like lambs, they'll simply follow whoever is speaking attractively. If anyone touches their emotions, then immediately they think, should follow them. So this person is making a show of being a yogi. He knows externally how modified practitioners are. So he pretends to be a yogi. But he's actually searching for objects of sense gratification, which is a contradiction. You cannot be a jnani or a yogi and at the same time be interested in sense gratification. They don't go together. His knowledge has no value because the effects of such a sinful man's knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord. See, he is sinful. Why is he sinful? Because he is giving up prescribed duties. There are two types of sinful activities. One is vikarma, actively doing things which are forbidden. For instance, killing someone, killing a child, for instance. It's a sinful activity, it's an activity. This is an act of commission. And the act of omission is just abandoning one's family. Just abandoning one's family and making a show of yogic meditation. We are talking of people who are refusing to work in Krishna consciousness. You should keep that in mind. We are not talking of people who accept Krishna consciousness. We are talking of people who are refusing to work in Krishna consciousness. So these people, they are very sinful. First of all, their primary sin is they are refusing to work in Krishna consciousness. Refusing that. And their meditation is not on the Supreme Lord. That's another thing. That is why Prabhupada says he makes a show of being a yogi. A yogi is supposed to meditate on the Supreme Lord. We learned that from chapter 6. We learned that from Bhagavatam. He doesn't do that also. It's just bogus, he is. He doesn't do Krishna consciousness. He gives up his material prescribed duties. Therefore, he's a sinful man. So his philosophical knowledge has no value. Because he can never, when he speaks, people don't get uplifted. And the effect of speaking Vedic philosophy is taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord. Such a pretender's mind is always impure, and therefore his show of yogic meditation has no value whatsoever. So because his mind is impure, his show of yogic meditation is useless. Useless for himself, useless for others. It is bad for himself, bad for others. Okay, now let's look at the Acharyas. First let's look at Acharya Baladev Vidya Bhushan. Now the Acharyas go into great detail. They have many things to say on this. Bhakti Vinod. Karma Apekha Vyavasaya. I'm looking at text 1. Karma Apekha Vyavasayaptika Kunatita Buddhi Jadi Tomar Mate Shrestha Tabe সেই বুদ্ধি প্রাপ্তির জন্য আমাকে ঘোর যুদ্ধ রূপ কর্মে কেন নিযুক্ত হইবার অনুমতি প্রদান করিতেছ? Why are you permitting me to engage in this terrible karma of fighting in a war in order to attain spiritual realization? You told me your opinion is better than engaging in karma is to be situated in spiritual realization, which is fully transcendental, beyond three modes, vyavasayatmika buddhi, that resolute determination. You said that is the highest. Now, why are you engaging me again in karma? You told me that is the highest, and you are engaging me in something which is very low, and on top of it is very terrible. Why are you doing that? Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushan: Tritiye karma nishkamam vistarenopavarnitam kamader vijayopayo durjayasyapi darshitah. In the third chapter, Krishna talks about, in great detail, about nishkama karma, and he also presents the means to get out of lust and so on, and so on, means kama, krodha, etc., which is by itself very difficult to conquer over. Purvatra kripala partha sarathir ajnana kartama nimagnam jagat swatmajnanopasana upadeshena samudhirshuhu tadangabhutam jivatma yathatmya buddhim upadishya tad upayataya nishkama karma buddhim upadishtavan. In the previous chapter, the compassionate charioteer of Partha, desiring to liberate the entire universe, which is sunk in the mud of ignorance, by means of instructions on realization of the soul and worship of himself. So he desired to liberate them. So he spoke that, and having instructed on the means to come to that plane of devotional service through realization of the self as being different from the body, he had presented nishkama karma. He had presented the conception of nishkama karma. So the idea is, first he presented nishkama karma in order to attain jiva yathatmya buddhi, which means realization of the self as being different from the body, the actual nature of the soul as being different from the body, which is a means to attain knowledge of himself and worship of himself. So that's a krama, that's a sequence. Ayamevartho vinishayaya chaturbhir adhyaye vidhantaray varniyate. So this is the very same, this point, in order to firmly establish it, in order to conclusively establish it, he explains this in another way in four chapters. So chapter 3, 4, 5, 6. And these are explaining the very same sequence in a different way. Tatra karma buddhi nishpadyatva jivatma buddhe shraishtyam sthitam. He had said that the goal of the conception of engaging in prescribed, the goal of prescribed duties is to come to spiritual realization of the soul as being different from the body. So in that regard, Arjuna asks this question, Jayasi iti, beginning with the verse Jayasi. Karmanaha nishkamad api chet tava tat sadhyatva jivatma buddhe jayasi shreshtha mata tarhi tat siddhaye mam ghore himsadhyaneka ayase karmani kim niyojayasi tasmad yuddhasvetyadena katam prerayasi. Okay, higher than nishkama karma, if higher than nishkama karma is realization of the soul, because realization of the soul is the goal of nishkama karma, that was your opinion. So then, in order to attain that, why are you telling me, why are you engaging me in this terrible work? terrible means that it is filled with violence and so on, and it is difficult to execute. And you told me, Tasmad Yujyasva, in the previous chapter, why do you impel me to do this? Atmanubhava hetu bhuta khalu sa buddhi nikalendriya vyapara viratisadhya tadartham tatsvajati yaha shamadaya eva yujyeran natu sarvendriya vyapara rupani tadvijatiyani karmani iti bhava. So the implication is, what is implicit here is, the idea is that, okay, in order to attain atmanubhava, realization of the self is different from the body, you need to engage in certain activities which are of the nature of non-engagement of the senses. The senses are all controlled. And these activities are also prescribed, like the activities of a brahmana. Shamo damas tapas shaucham shantirajivam evacha jnanam vijnanam asikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. This is stated later in 18th chapter, the activities of a brahmana. So the activities of brahmana is to be sense control, mind control, straightforward and so on. There are nine qualities. So these are within the same category of spirituality. Why are you engaging me in something which is not in the same category, which is vijatiya, which involves utilizing all the senses like a war? In a war you engage all of your senses, whereas a brahmana's duty is to meditate on God, to contemplate. It's called, like even now sometimes they say, reflective contemplation of spirituality. We are creating sacred environment for reflective contemplation of spirituality. So Arjuna also is thinking that, why are you engaging me in these kind of activities? This is very far from reflective contemplation of spirituality. You have to kill your grandfather, your guru, your all day. Imagine this. You're supposed to kill lakhs and lakhs of people, and that is supposed to be somehow going to lead you to spiritual realization, which generally is accomplished by brahmanas and sannyasis. So therefore, Arjuna is asking this question. What is this, you know? You want me to come to a peaceful plane of spiritual realization, and you're engaging in all these kind of activities. What is this? हे जनार्दन श्रेयोर्थि क्षण याचनीय. ओ जनार्दन, जनार्दन इन दिस कॉन्टेक्स्ट मीन्स दैट वन हू इज सॉट आफ्टर बाय पीपल हू डिजायर देयर ओन बेनिफिट. एंड ही सेज, हे केशव, केशव मीन्स क प्लस ईश प्लस व. Hey Keshava, Vidhi Rudra Vashakaran. It means one who is a lord of Lord Brahma. Brahma is has a name called Ka, and Isha is a name of Lord Shiva. Ka iti Brahmano nama Ishoham Sarvadehinam Avam Tavanga Sambhutau Tasmat Keshava nama Bhak iti Harivamshe Krishnam Prati Rudroktehe. As it is, because it is stated by Rudra to Krishna in Harivamsha that Ka is Brahma's name, and I am Isha of all the embodied souls, and we both have emanated from your body, and therefore you have the name Keshava. Durlangya gyastvam shreyorthina maya abhyartitaha mama shreyah nishchitya bruhi. Your order cannot be transgressed, but I am a person seeking what is beneficial. And I'm beseeching you. Please tell me exactly what is good for me. That is the implication of this word. Janardana and Keshava. Your order cannot be transgressed even by Brahma and Shiva. So I'm not going to transgress it, but I just need to know. Please tell me what is clear, what is actually good for me. Vyamishrineva Vakyana Buddhim Mohaya Siva Me Tadekam vadanishchitya yena shreyoham apnuyam. Bhaktivinoda, tumi je sakal upadesh pradan kurile taha shravan kuriva matra পরস্পর অমিলিতার্থ বোধক বলিয়া বোধ হয়। ইট অপিয়ার্স দ্যাট হোয়াট এভার ইউ হ্যাভ সেড ইজ ইনকনসিস্টেন্ট উইথ ইচ আদার, ইজ দে অপিয়ার টু বি ইনকনসিস্টেন্ট কন্ট্রাডিক্টরি উইথ ইচ আদার। কোন স্থলে তুমি আত্ময়াথাত্ম্য সাধক জ্ঞানের উপদেশ করিলে, সামটাইমস ইউ স্পোক অবাউট জ্ঞান উইচ লিডস টু স্পিরিচুয়াল রিয়েলাইজেশন, এবং স্থানান্তরে আমার কর্মাধিকার প্রকাশ করত আমাকে কর্মানুষ্ঠানের অনুজ্ঞা করিলে, সামটাইমস ইউ পারমিটেড মি টু এনগেজ ইন দি অ্যাক্টিভিটি অফ কর্ম বর্ণাশ্রম ধর্ম প্রিসক্রাইব মেটেরিয়াল ডিউটিস, কনসিডারিং মি টু হ্যাভ দ্য এলিজিবিলিটি ফর এনগেজিং ইন কর্ম, এই দুইটির মধ্যে কোনটি আমার পক্ষে শ্রেয় তাহা নিশ্চয় করিয়া বল, প্লিজ টেল মি ফর শিওর উইচ ইজ গুড ফর মি। নামি শ্রেণীতি সাংখ্যবুদ্ধি যোগ বুদ্ধিয়ো ইন্দ্রিয় নিবৃত্তির রূপয়ো সাধ্য সাধকত্ব অবরোধি যদ্বাক্যম তদ ব্যামিশ্রম উচ্যতে। ইউ স্পোক অবাউট সাংখ্যবুদ্ধি and yoga buddhi, two conceptions, the conception of sankhya, the conception of buddhi, the conception of yoga. So now both of them involve restraint of the senses, and you spoke words which are not in line with that. And that is why I am saying it is mixed up. Tenave buddhi mohyasiva vastutastu sarveshwarasya matsakhasya cha te man mohakata nastyeva. Notice here he says mohyasiva. The word iva also means like, as if. Vyamishrena iva vakena buddhi mohyasiva me. The word iva in this context can also mean like, as if. So you appear to be bewildering me. You appear to be bewildering me. But in reality, you are the Lord of all, Sarveshwara. And you are also my friend. So you certainly, you certainly don't bewilder me. Mad buddhi doshadeva pratyemi aham iti iva shabdata. But it's because of a defect of my intelligence. I perceive it to be mixed up. I perceive it to be equivocal. I perceive it to be confusing. This is a very, very important point. It's a very important point. In Vedic culture, when we deal with Vedic authorities, with first of all with the Veda itself, anything that is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Vedic scripture, or with the liberated Acharya, the Krishnadas Kaviraj, and so on, if you don't understand something, if something appears confusing, you can't say weird, foolish, stupid. You can't even use these words. You should never even use these words. You should learn Arjuna's language. It appears to be confusing. It appears contradictory. Mohayasiva. When you are talking of someone who's repeating the word of God, you have to always assume this position. That my intelligence is defective. So I perceive it to be like this. You have to always give the benefit of a doubt. This is very, very important. If the process, if the etiquette of trying to acquire knowledge is defective, then the Vedas will immediately close up. The liberated Acharyas will also close up. They will not reveal it. You are supposed to surrender to them. Even in the intellectual field, you are supposed to surrender. It's not that you only surrender for your services and this and that. Krishna demands that also. He demands that you surrender your intelligence to me. Surrender intelligence like Arjuna, like this. You have to give the benefit of a doubt. The moment you talk as if you understand Krishna, and as if this is wrong, that is wrong, if you speak like that, immediately Krishna's Maya is waiting to gobble you up. She will make you continue to think that they are all wrong, but you will never attain the fruit of spirituality. That is for sure. You will be absorbed in sense gratification. You will be absorbed in mental speculation, but you will never attain success in Bhakti Yoga. You will never attain that. So these are all very, very important procedures. In ISKCON, many of our devotees are not aware of these very risky, sensitive, dangerous areas. It's primarily because they are mixing with non-devotee scholars. In the non-devotional world, And simply they will smoke one cigar and they'll say, Baladev is weird. They speak like that about the liberated Acharya while they're smoking their cigarette and planning to go for a restaurant to eat beef. These people will talk like that. So if devotees mix with them, then they also start talking like that. The disease comes upon them. The disease of intellectual disregard comes upon them. Very dangerous. We should learn from Arjuna. No, that's why he says, two times he says Iva. Notice it. Two times he says Iva. Vyamishrena, Iva Vakyena, Buddhim Mohaya. See, Iva me. By words which appear to be equivocal, you appear to be bewildering me. Very, very important. You have to always give the benefit of a doubt. Again, we will see the beginning of 5th chapter. Krishna will, Arjuna will again speak. In the beginning of 4th chapter. Katham metad vijaniyam. How can I understand this? Because Krishna will say that I spoke this to the sun god millions of years ago. So Arjuna will say, you just took birth there along with me. You're my equal. But you're speaking like this. So how can I understand this? He doesn't say, stop that nonsense. He doesn't talk like that. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. You cannot deal with a representative of God. Arjuna is teaching etiquette. The etiquette on how to behave as a disciple. Disciples cannot talk like that. Very, very dangerous. When the Guru is repeating the words of the liberated Acharyas, who are themselves repeating the words of Veda, very, very dangerous. The moment you speak like that, Maya is waiting. Avaranatmika, Prakshepatmika, they both are waiting to swallow us. With one of them, Maya will cover our intelligence. With the other, she'll pull you into sense gratification. And then, next lifetime, back to dog. Not back to God. Tat tasmad ekam avyamishram vakyam vada. Therefore, speak one thing. Don't speak equivocal things. Don't speak two things. Don't recommend two things. Talk one thing. Na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyagena, ekena, mritatvamana, shur, nasya kritah kritena, iti shrutivat. Like, for instance, there are statements from the Shruti that says, not by karma, not by progeny, not by wealth, that means not by charity, only by tyaga, only by renunciation, have those personalities attained immortality. You cannot attain that which is spiritual by that which is material. So these are very clear, notice? Very, very clear. It is not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, only this. This is the sharp way of communication. This is the thing and is not anything else. Don't say this, that, this, that. This is good, that's also good. That's also good. That is also good. Don't speak all these things. Speak one thing. I want to know for sure. So this is what Arjuna has in mind. That's why he says, say one thing. Tadekam vada ash. Tadekam vada. Say, no? Tadekam vada nishchitya. Speak one thing. Like this Shruti. Speak one thing. Yen. Yena aham anushteyam nishchitya atmanaha shreyaha praknuyam. By which I can resolve what is meant to be applied, and I will be able to obtain that which is beneficial for myself. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Lokesmin vividha nishtha pura prakta mayanaka jnana yogena sankhyana karma yogena yogina. I'll read Bhaktivinoda first. Bhagavan kohile, Ami jaha purva jnaye boliyachi, tahade amar eru budesh nai je, sankhya jog o karma jog paraspar nirapekha mokha sadhana upaya. In the previous chapter, when I spoke, whatever I spoke in the previous chapter, my instruction was not that sankhya yoga and karma yoga are independent of each other. And they are means to liberation independent of each other. Atma yathatmya yog vyatit mokha sadhano pay ar kichu nai. Without attaining self-realization, there is no other means. There's no other means to liberation other than realization of the self, the nature of the self as being different from the body. Atma yathatmya yog sadhana vishaye nishtha dui prakar. And in this matter of the means to come to self-realization, there are two varieties of nishtha or position, two levels, say levels. Jaisakal vyakti shuddhantah karan tahara jnana bhumiti ajiru. Those personalities whose hearts are purified, they have elevated themselves to the plane of jnana. Tahadev sankhya jnana yogashri nishtha. Their position is the one of sankhya jnana. Antahkaran shuddha kurivar janna jay karma yoga nishtha. Tahadev adraniya nai. And they don't have to respect the regulations or the position of karma yoga, which is prescribed for purification of the heart, because they have crossed it. Tahara sankha yoga nishtha dara atma yathatmya yoge adhirudhan. These personalities, they take up nishkama karma yoga, purify themselves, then they come to jnana nishtha. Jaha der antahkaran shuddha hoi nai tahara nishkam karma yog dara jnana bhumite arohan purvak avasheshe atma yathatmya rup mokha lab kore. These personalities, they attain liberation in the form of realization of the self. Sometimes realization of the self itself is considered to be liberation. So they attain that form of liberation. Vastuta sei bhumi lab kuribar je sopantaha ekai matra arohi digair avasthakrame ekai nishtha dui prakar hai. So it is not that there are two separate things. Rather, there is one ladder, but there are two levels within that one ladder, corresponding to how much people have climbed, they are given that label. Sri Baladev, evam prishto bhagavan vacha loke sminniti. When Arjuna asked the Supreme Lord this question, and the Lord said, the verse beginning, loke smin. Notice, Krishna says, anagha, O sinless Arjuna. Anagha, loke smin dvividha nishtha pura prokta maya anagha. O sinless Arjuna. Why does he say sinless? There's a deep meaning behind that word, sinless. Why he is addressing you as sinless? He anaka. Nirmala buddhe, partha. O partha. One with spotless intelligence. Jayasi chediti karma buddhi sankhya buddhyor kuna pradhana bhavam jananapi. Tamaste jasoriva viruddhayos tayoh katham ekadhikarikatvam iti shankaya preritah pruchasi iti bhava. Even though you know that the conception of karma and the conception of sankhya are named according to whichever features are predominant in them, you know that, still being impelled, you have come up with the apprehension that they are two opposite things, contradictory to each other, like darkness and light. And therefore, you are wondering how the same personality is supposed to have both. How can one person be eligible for both? Therefore, you are asking this question. But actually, you are sinless because you are being impelled by me. Therefore, you are asking this question. Why yourself you are sinless? Asmin mumukshuttaya abhimate shuddha shuddha chitta taya dvivide loke jane dvivida nishtha stitihi maya sarveshwarena pura purvadhyaye prokta. In here, amongst the field of the mumukshus, the liberation seekers, there are amongst those people who are favorable to the mumukshus, there are two types of people corresponding to whether their hearts are clean or their hearts are unclean. And corresponding to them, there are two positions, two platforms. This has been spoken by me previously means in the previous chapter by me. That means by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, me. Nishthetyek vachanena ek atma uddeshyatva eka eva nishtha sadhya sadhana dasha dvaya bhedena dvikprakara natu dve nishthe iti suchyate. He doesn't say, notice this, you see, this is called scrutiny. Oh, he is scrutinizing. He does not say that there are two nishtha. The word nishtha is feminine. And if it were to be put in the dual, it would be nishthe. Two nishthas. He doesn't say there are two nishthas. Rather, he says dvividha nishtha. There is one nishtha which is of two types. Because both of them are with regard to realizing the same spirit soul. There's only one spirit soul each one has. And everybody is aiming at, in both of these processes, they're aiming at only one. They're aiming at realizing that one spirit soul. So there is only one nishtha, but it is of two levels. And the two levels are based on, or two steps, dasha, two steps or stages are based on what is a sadhana and what is sadhya. This is the means to attain that. So there are two phases. This has been indicated by the word dvividha. Evam eva agre vakshyati. This is exactly how he will speak later. Later where? 5th chapter. Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha ityadi. Ityadi. That in the 5th chapter also he will say that Sankhya and Yoga are actually one. They are not different. 5th chapter he will speak like this. Tam nishtham dvaividhyena darshayati. Kyaneti. Now how is it of two different types that he demonstrates in the second half of the verse? Sankhyam jnanam arshadhyach tadvatam jnaninam jnana yogena nishtha sthitirukta prachahati yada kama nityadina jnanam eva yoga yujyate atmana aneneti vitpate. So on one side you have Sankhya jnanam, which is meant for the jnanis, which has been presented as jnana yoga. So this has been stated in the text prachahati yada kama. This is the first shloka of the definition of a sitapragya, sthitapragya. This prachahati yada kama sarvan partha manogatan atmanyeva apanatushta sthitapragya sthulochyate. Jnanam eva yoga. Jnana itself is a means to attain the soul. Yoginam nishkama karmavatam karma yogena nishtha sthitirukta karmanyeva adhikaraste ityadina. But for those who are on the level who are eligible for nishkama karma, then their position is the position of karma yoga, and these personalities are considered to be the karma yogis, yoginam. And the text which Krishna has in mind is karmanyeva adhikaraste, etc. So there he had said, you are just qualified for karma. You should not aspire for karma phala and so on. So that instruction was suitable for them. Karma eva yoga yujyate jnana garbhaya chidda shutya anena iti vyutpatte. And here, karma itself is the yoga, is the means. Yoga means upaya. So here karma is the means. How is it the means? It produces chitta shuddhi, purification of heart. And after purifying the heart, it internally produces spiritual realization. So this is called karma yoga. Karma which is the means. Jnana yoga, jnana which is the means. Etaduktam bhavati. This is the whole point. Na khalu mumukshu janaha tadaiva shamadyangikam jnana nishtham labhate. It is not that one who seeks liberation, a person, immediately he can attain the position of jnana, where as accessories he engages in the activities of shama, dama, tapas, shaucham and so on, the activities of a brahmana. One cannot immediately come to that plane. Kintu sacharena karma yogena chitna malinyam nirdhuya eva ityetadeva maya pragabhani eshate abhihita sankhya ityadina. Rather, one has to engage in the appropriate behavior that is suited to elevate oneself to that plane. One has to engage in karma yoga. One has to remove, one has to purify one's heart from all contamination. Then only he will come to that point. This has been stated by me in Eshate, Bhita, Sankhye, etc. Therefore, there is no equivocal. I didn't speak equivocally. This is Krishna's point. Okay, I'll stop with this. We'll continue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.